Today's podcast is brought to you by our Make Gas Cheap Again t-shirt. To order, go to gracecurlyshow.com.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
I'm still laughing at this piece from Bloomberg. Like, the people think this is going to play well. The people think that they're going to get response like, oh, this is a great idea. I didn't think of the lentil aspect. That's a whole new angle. Some of the responses back to this article.
This is my fifth lentil burger today, and it's delightful.
One guy on Twitter wrote, I keep buying lentils, but I'm still poor. What gives? Another person wrote, nobody said this would be fun. Yeah, so if you missed this, Bloomberg has tips and tricks for all of us poor people out there who make less than $300,000 a year. Some of them include take the bus.
Hop on the bus, Gus.
Don't buy in bulk. Try lentils instead of meat. Yum. Nobody said this would be fun. That's another little arrow they have. Nobody said this would be... What is this? The destruction of the country? Nobody said this would be fun? What do they think this is?
Nobody said tyranny, crushing your freedoms, and trying to control your oil and food supply chains would be fun, peasants.
And by the
way... hey, we're here, so may as well make the best of it.
I was not told that any of that was going to happen. I was told that we were going to be singing Kumbaya, that Joe Biden was going to unite the country, we were going to be back on the world stage. They had all the answers, everything was going to be great, the economy was going to come booming back from all of this needless spending. I was told I would be living the good life with grandfather slash uncle Joe Biden. And so, yeah, I did think it would be fun. Unity... and celebrations and the restoration of normalcy and making America America again. That kind of sounded fun to a lot of people.
Well, it's your fault, Grace. Your expectations were just too high.
They were. You know, my expectations under Trump, I mean, that's a whole nother story, which we'll get to in a second. But I do want to throw it out to the callers because here's my question. Do you have some tips for people? Are you doing things to cut back? I was really thinking about this and I was like, you know, I'm someone here who could probably try a couple of these tips. I don't have any animals. And everyone's going, thank God. Because if you didn't read that one, doggy death panels are another idea, basically. It's saying, you know, if your pet needs an expensive surgery, you might want to think twice about it. Which, if there's any dogs out there, if there's any little Mr. Gooners or Pearls listening to this, I'm sorry. It was not my decision. Take it up with Mike Bloomberg, okay? Take it up with Bloomberg News. They did this to you. I've always been team dog and team cat. But this is just, nobody said this would be fun. Okay, if your dog's out there and he's listening right now, bring him up to the speakers. Okay, put your paw on the speaker if you can hear me. And I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm going to give you a piece of advice, pup. Nobody said this would be fun, okay? Give me a break. Come on, man. But one thing I have been doing is I've been trying my very best.
The dog days are over. The dog days are done.
I just want to say, though, on the record, because Lord knows I have gotten in trouble with the dog community in the past. I do not support these doggy death panels. I don't think if you have the money and you have the heart to support a very expensive procedure for your pet, I say go for it. But if you are taking tips from Bloomberg, just know that that's in the cards for you.
Dogs may help cure cancer.
So one thing, I know, he's got to make up his mind. Is he pro? Are these liberals pro-dog or are they against dogs? Because these dogs want to know, okay? They're under a tremendous amount of stress right now. Now, something else, though, I just wanted to point out is there are things that everyone's been doing differently now that the economy is in the toilet. And one of them that I've been doing... is I have been trying my best to make coffee at the office or to make coffee at my house. And now if your follow-up is, how have you been doing with that? Has it been successful? No. I mean, I still stop pretty frequently. I'm not that committed to it. But that's the thing that, you know, it's like the small, I was just talking to a coworker. I said, what's some things that you do differently? And she said, you know, it's just the small little niceties that you give up. It's like getting the flowers when you're at the supermarket, or, you know, you're really careful when you go and you pick out things you really need. And no one's saying that this stuff is life or death, but there are things that people are doing to try to cut back. I just don't know if eating a bowl full of lentils instead of a hamburger is what people expected. I'm not saying I thought this was going to be fun, but I didn't think it was going to suck this bad this quick. Walter, you're up first. Go ahead, Walter.
Hi, Grace. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
Yeah, I look forward to the day when the Presidential Medal of Freedom is put around your neck for bringing out the things you bring out. It's just wonderful. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, anyways, what I was going to say is that, you know, we bring the analogy a lot about if they want us to cut out meat.
Yes.
Why don't they attempt to cut out some pork in the way that they have their legislative bills and the laws that they pass? Why won't we bring back something like a line item veto that says, when this piece of pork or that piece of pork is finally removed, maybe that'll cut down on our taxes, we'll have a few more dollars to spend, and that'll cut back on inflation. These kind of things are very frustrating, incredibly frustrating, and it's so kind of you to listen to me. Lastly, if I may, I think we need to take the high road, the conservatives, and I'm going to do my very best to continue to say things like, in my opinion this, and in my opinion that, because I think sometimes when we bark things out, it makes it seem so slanted that no one wants to listen to us. We need to take the high road. And thank you so much, Grace, for listening to me.
I agree, Walter. I sometimes catch myself, like just in the first hour, I was getting angry, you know, throwing out names. And I do sometimes think that, you know, if you have a little bit more nuance to your argument, people hear it more. And it's not really, when I do say that stuff, it's not really directed at people who vote for Democrats. I'm not happy with them. Nobody said this would be fun. I'm not happy with them. But it's the politicians kind of on both sides, and it's the media. That's when I get the most vicious, is when I'm talking about the media, because I cannot believe how hypocritical they are. Now, as far as your other points, I agree with you about the pork. But what they would argue, these Democrats, is they would argue that it's the pork, it's this spending, this inflating an already inflated economy that is going to get us out of this. That's Joe Biden and 17 Nobel laureates' position, is that more pork is going to fix this.
Got to spend money to make money.
I was thinking about that the other day. I'm like, that is kind of their mindset. I always think of more cowbell. More spending. We need more spending. I've got an itch and I need more spending. It's just, it's crazy to anyone with even a modicum of common sense, but that is the road they're going down. And now it's, we need more spending, and we also need you to spend the money you have on lentils and on not trying to save your pet. Okay? And then if you do that, it won't be fun, but everything will be okay, because we are the government and we're here to help. Chilling stuff, really, when you think about it. But as we talk about this, and as we talk about some of the perks of living in Joe Biden's America, it's hard not to think of the Trump years, and it's hard not to think of how good we had it for a while. I can't help but think of the that song, "Don't It Always Seem to Go That You Don't Know What You Got Till It's Gone." You've paved paradise to put up a parking lot. Well, we've paved paradise to put Joe Biden into office, and now we can't even go to the parking lot because we got to sell our car and take the bus. But as we talk about this, there's talk about what's going to happen in 2024. I had mentioned that because of this Hunter Biden stuff, it does kind of look like maybe Democrats are preparing to eject Joe and Kamala. And as I mentioned before, in American Greatness, there's a piece by Roger Kimball.
We need you.
And the piece is, Biden's handlers are preparing to eject him and Kamala, kind of like the dethronement of Joe Biden. And why they are now suddenly starting to pay attention to this laptop. And I want to read you one part of it. It says, the issue is never the issue. I suspect that Joe Biden is being prepped for ejection. Exactly how it will happen, I do not yet know. But he is on the threshold, or possibly has even passed the threshold, where he could appear to govern. His minders understand this. Obviously, Kamala will have to be dealt with first, and she will be. Look for some ground-softening stories such as the Times just served up about the laptop. They won't be long in coming. Now, Roger Kimball has this piece out, and at the same time, he has another piece out in Spectator, and this one's titled, Why Not Trump in 2024? And the reason I want to talk about this is because I've had this exact conversation with people where I'm of the mindset that Trump is too controversial and he's too much of a lightning rod, and that it would be so much easier if we stuck, let's say, Ron DeSantis, if we had Ron DeSantis run, or if we had any other Republican run, they don't elicit the same kind of derangement as Trump. But what Roger Kimball does is he sets up a scenario of why not him? Here are some of the things he's done. Why shouldn't we be excited if he runs in 2024? And he makes a lot of good points. And I want to read this and I want to ask the listeners what they think as far as 2024 goes. I think a lot of people understand my mindset and they say, oh, you know, I kind of hope he bows out of this one. But what Roger Kimball points out is there's been very few presidents who have had such a successful first term. If you just go based off what he's accomplished, there's good reason why he should run. And he brings up his age, which I think is a valid point to argue that maybe he'd be a little old. But I want to hear what other people think about this. It's 844-500-4242. Just a side note, we want to send all our prayers out to Clarence Thomas, who is in the hospital. He has flu-like symptoms, and I'm hoping that he's okay. The Justice Clarence Thomas was in the hospital. Obviously, this is not going to shock anyone. There was horrible responses from blue check marks on the left. Just despicable, ghoulish remarks. Doesn't surprise anyone. When the left shows you who they are, listen to them. They've been telling us for a long time now that they hate Republicans and conservatives and incredible Americans like Clarence Thomas. I mean, this guy is just incredible. And so our prayers go out to him, to his family. I hope he's on the mend. I've read that he is. I read that he'll be out in a couple days, but we're sending all our prayers to him today. Does this crazy stock market have you second-guessing your strategy, or do you just want to know more? I've got a suggestion for you. The Oxford Communique with Alexander Green. Many of Green's recommendations consistently outperform the S&P 500. That's because he follows very specific strategies in the trades he recommends. When you subscribe to the Oxford Communique, Alex's research will show you exactly how to grow your wealth, protect what you have, manage risk, stay ahead of inflation, and keep your money out of the prying hands of the tax man. You can get started today for as little as $49 at onestockretirement.com. Subscribe and get digital and print subscriptions to the Oxford Communique, plus four bonus reports, including the Gone Fishing Portfolio. Today is the day to join the club, the Oxford Club, one of the world's largest financial publishers. Subscribe today and gain unlimited access to Alex's research along with new stock recommendations every month. You owe it to yourself. Get the knowledge and strategies to grow your wealth. Join the Oxford Club today at onestockretirement.com. Now, I'm going to throw this out there. Trump, this is by Roger Kimball. He says, Trump is an intruder of the regime class of American politics. The elite were aghast. They were aghast when he won in 2016. And that's why they are moving heaven and earth to prevent a return showing in 2024. Do you think we should have Trump in 2024 run for president? That's my question to the callers.
Do you miss me yet?
Yes. Short answer, yes. But and you know who else misses Trump? All the dogs. You know how he got such a hard time for not having a dog in the White House? Well, I think the dogs right now are thinking, that wasn't that bad.
A beautiful dog. A talented dog.
Dogs were treated better when Trump was president. 844-500-4242. We'll take your calls when we come back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. She's a master at pouncing, weaponizing, and seizing.
To give you a reference point, I'm somewhere between a snake and a mongoose. And a panther.
She's Grace Curley.
Look, if Donald Trump gets the Republican nomination, there are many of us that will move heaven and earth to ensure he doesn't win. I think that's the most important. He cannot be president again.
That was Adam Kinzinger, a big anti-Trumper. We're talking now, though, about the Bloomberg article that breaks down some hot tips on how you can prevent feeling the sting of inflation. We're also talking about Trump in 2024. Just a side note, my mom just texted me. She's worried. She said, Grace, please don't upset Beagle Nation again. At some point when I was younger and naive, I was on Howie's show and I made a comment about how beagles are annoying. Little did I know, out of all of the things I've said over the years, that was going to set off a chain reaction. I had people from all over the country who love beagles coming for me. They were not happy.
She's the worst. She's-
yeah, I am the worst, and I apologize to the beagle community. But none of the damage that I've done is even comparable to what's happening now under Joe Biden. Because apparently your owners are being told that if the surgery is a little pricey, it's not going to be fun, but you might have to tell old Sprinkles that it's time to hit the road. Dave, you're next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, Grace. First of all, I hope your comment about bringing out these other elements was intended to reflect the other side, if you will. But I think Trump absolutely should run because he brings people out that never voted before. Okay, a lot of people that never voted before that I can attest for. This isn't anecdotal either. Okay, my wife won. Okay, never interested in politics ever in her life until Trump came down the escalator. She told me about it. So no. I really am excited, and I want to see Trump run in 24 because it'll make the other side so crazy that they won't even try to hide. Of course, they don't even try to hide anymore anyway. But, you know, this will bring them really out in the open. And, you know, anybody that's got half a brain is going to see them for what they are, complete frauds, self-centered, and they're the rich people. And they just want to control everybody else's life while they sit up in their penthouse and, you know, have their chauffeur drive them everywhere they want to go.
Yeah, their chauffeur who drives a Tesla, and they like to eat red meat while the rest of us eat lentils. I understand, Dave. A lot of good points here, and I want to read you a little bit of this piece by Roger Kimball, because he brings up the same thing. He says, now here are the three reasons he would support Trump. He says, one, I agree with almost every particular of his platform and believe from his performance in the first time around that he would continue to deliver peace and prosperity for the American people. People forget this, but Trump kept so many of his promises. I just hope that he has a more loyal team and fewer snakes in the civil service. I agree. I think he would. I think he learned that lesson the hard way. Two, I think Trump would win. He has tens of millions of avid supporters. And three, which goes right to Dave's point, it would infuriate the never Trumpers on the well-pressed right as well as the left. And that is a spectacle that would be worth the price of admission. Yeah, the consumer in me would love a little bit of the complete derangement from the Joe Scarboroughs and Bill Crystals. Marianne, you're next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead.
Hi. I heard somebody posit, and this sounds like this might be a very effective idea, that instead of running for president, that President Trump run for Congress, preferably the House of Representatives. DeSantis could run for president, and think of all the power that Trump would have taking Nancy Pelosi's spot.
Yeah, the only thing when I hear those two, Marianne, and actually I heard one recently about Ron DeSantis running for president and then electing Donald Trump to the Supreme Court. Like, everybody throws out all these things on Twitter. Here's the part of this where I don't think that would happen. As much as I'm a huge fan of Trump, you can't take away the fact that he has a massive ego. And I don't think in his mind he'd want anything but the top spot. I don't think he'd want to be, once you're president, it's like, you know, flowers for Algernon. How are you going to keep them down on the farm now that they've seen Paris, if you catch my drift? I don't think he's going to take any other spot. It would be cool. It'd be really cool. I just don't really know if that's a possibility. 844-500-4242. If I had to pick any scenario, it would be that he keeps the press thinking he's going to run, and then at the last second says, DeSantis, you do this. And then he could still make so many moves behind the scenes. I think you could argue he'd have more power behind the scenes than he would if he was in the Oval Office. 844-500-4242. We will keep rolling with this. I have a couple more sound cuts of the Hunter Biden stuff I want to get to. But what do you think? Trump in 2024, he's going to be around the same age Joe Biden is now. Do you have faith that he can do it again? Or is this like one of those great parties that you can't throw it again? It loses its magic. We'll be right back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio,
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Our topic, which we do every once in a while, and I think it's worth floating, because Lord knows there's enough think pieces about this. If you go to CNN or any of these websites, it's usually one of the top five stories, you know, will Trump run in 2024? And I have to say, this piece by Roger Kimball, I think it expresses the way a lot of people feel, which is at the very beginning, at the outset of Trump's run, when he came down that escalator, it was amusing, but a lot of people weren't thinking he was going to get very far. A lot of people thought he was kind of a joke. And then slowly but surely, people kind of loved the wild factor, the fact that he was not establishment, the fact that he wasn't afraid to call people out on stage. Who can forget that iconic line he said to Hillary Clinton, where she said, "I'm glad someone of your temperament isn't in a position of power." And he said, "Yeah, because you'd be in jail." And the whole crowd went nuts because we never had that. We never had someone who was just speaking truth to power to the faces of people like Hillary Clinton. For years, people sat at their TVs and screamed every time they saw Hillary Clinton or Bill Clinton or any of these corrupt politicians. They screamed to themselves. And then for a glorious few years, you had a guy who had no problem saying all that stuff right to those people when he was in the room with them. And it was cool. And I want to read this part here, because he says, "I found myself agreeing with more and more of what Trump said. The United States needed to protect the border. Check. We needed to put America first on everything from trade to national security. Check." And he kind of goes through this checklist of all of the talking points that he started to agree with Trump on. And then this is the important part of what Trump did, because a lot of us agreed with Trump and also thought to ourselves, let's see how much of a backbone this guy has if he gets elected, which was already a long shot. So then when he got in, as Kimball points out, to everyone's amazement, Trump won. What then? He began keeping his promises. One by one, he kept them. The border, yes. The Keystone Pipeline and fracking, yes. By the time Trump left office, America was energy independent. Indeed, it was a net exporter of energy. Now Joe Biden is begging Iran and Venezuela to sell us oil. And the list goes on and on about the only promise that Trump made that he couldn't deliver on was ending Obamacare. And that was because of John McCain. Was Trump divisive? Yes, but more so than Joe Biden. And I think this part is interesting because he's referencing a piece, I believe, by Charlie Cook. And in the piece, Charlie Cook talks about Trump's extraordinarily selfish. That's how he describes him. So Kimball writes, "Is he extraordinarily selfish, as Charlie says? I don't know. Stories of his personal generosity to individuals abound, but who cares? Politicians are not running for sainthood. In my judgment, Trump had the single most successful first term of any president in recent memory." And I'm sure my memory is a lot shorter than Roger Kimball's, because I think I'm a lot younger than him. No, maybe not a lot. I shouldn't take that dig. But in my lifetime, absolutely. I've never seen someone run and keep as many promises as Trump did. Let's go to Jake. You're next up on this. Go ahead, Jake.
Hey, Grace. Congratulations on your time slot success.
Thank you, sir.
That's great. Yeah, you're welcome. And you deserve it. And you're thoughtful and you're thought-provoking and you do a very good job.
Thank you.
Not to eat, but you need to hear that sometimes. But the Ron DeSantis, yes, he's probably a good candidate. I would like to see him in the future, and the reasons are what you outlined. Although Donald John Trump was not perfect, he's not loved, but we, as we'll call ourselves conservatives, maybe the better children versus the wayward children who want everything. They kick, scream. You keep giving it to them, keep giving it to them. Everything they want, they're never happy, and they ruin it for everybody else. Donald John Trump is a leader. He stuck to his word. Remember, the people that are representing us work for us. Now, conversely, Mr. Biden, the resident, takes and abuses us. All children get, even those that thought that they were putting the right person in, are abused. And how? Overpaying. Around about taxation on gas. And everything that on day one, remember, that's what he did. So he's affected everybody in this country on day one. And here's a good question you could bring up one of your shows. All those books that he signed on day one, all that legislation, what else was in it? Because it wasn't his brainchild. And who was the real author behind all those things? So to circle back, Donald Trump has my vote every day of the week, and if anybody had a clue, as long as the election integrity is there, he should be president.
Yeah, and I think that you bring up a lot of good points there, and it's just frustrating that we didn't even understand it when we had it. I mean, he really was making a lot of promises, and then he was keeping them. And I think that part of what you just hit on, which drives me nuts as far as Republicans go, is think about it. When Trump was elected, all these Republicans who spent 8 years under Obama saying, our hands are tied, we can't do anything, it really showed you just how swampy everything is. That at the end of the day, I hate that expression, but at the end of the day, none of these people really want anyone to come in and shake up the party, you know, and throw the table over. All of these people are pretty good with the status quo. They like to talk and grandstand and tweet and pretend they're mad about things. But when push comes to shove and they're all behind closed doors, it's swampy swampland. And they're all fine with it. They're happy residents of the swamp. And I just want to read and stay on the lines here. I'm going to go right back to the calls. But this is another part of it where Kimball kind of goes into why this animus, like why this hatred? And something I've tried to figure out too. What about this guy? It's not his policies, because people before him had policies like this. You know, conservatives before him had policies like this. There's something about this guy. And it's not that he's vulgar. I'm sorry. I say this all the time. Everybody's got HBO. Oh, maybe not now. I mean, I cut back on that. But most people have seen vulgar things. You've watched The Sopranos. You know, we're not all these like pearl clutching people we like to make ourselves out to be when we see a tweet about Stormy Daniels. Ooh, how dare he? I can't have someone like that in the White House. Where is the decency? Where is the morality? I don't buy that. All right. These same people, when they hear that someone's sick, they start talking about how they hope they die. So the whole like, oh, I'm shocked. He's too shocking for me. I don't buy that. So what is it? What is it about him that creates this nuttiness from the left? And Kimball says, why the unstoppable animus against Trump? I do not believe it is because people think he is a man of bad character, or that he issued mean tweets, or that he is divisive. Such things are mere placeholders. I used to say that the main objection to Trump is aesthetic, by which I mean to encompass his unconventional style and unclubbableness. Trump is an intruder on the regime class of American politics. Once upon a time, it boasted lots of homespun elements. But for decades now, it has been the province of an administrative elite whose perfect incarnation is Davos Man. Such people believe they have a natural, almost a hereditary right to rule. The American people disabused them of that presumption in 2016. The elite was aghast and vowed never to let that happen again. My mom always said that. She said Nancy Pelosi and Democrats and Republicans alike were playing house. You know, they're playing pretend for years and years and years, and they'd say, we have master legislatures, and none of you can understand the complexities of this world. We are the chosen ones. And then Trump came in and was like, hey, I'm a business guy. Let's see if we can run it like a business. Turns out you can. Turns out we don't all need to be eating lentils if you elect the right guy. Eureka! Pete, you're next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Pete.
Hi, Grace. You got a great show.
Thank you.
I have to compliment you on that. You're 100% right. I'm a veteran. I served this country faithfully, and I miss Donald Trump. If Donald Trump were president now, you wouldn't have what's going on at Ukraine. Guarantee it. You would not have it. Putin wouldn't be doing what he's doing if Trump were president. The other thing is, with Donald Trump, hopefully he'll get elected somehow again, because he did make this country great. He did control the border. He did control a lot of things. My concern is the Democrats stole the last election. What can we do to prevent them from stealing the next election? Because you know what? I can tell when they lie. And you know how I do that? Their lips move.
Absolutely, Pete. Thank you for your service, first of all. I don't have the answer for that. I think people have to be, I do think we need to be concerned. I think we should have been more concerned about it, and Trump was kind of ringing the alarm bell for months and months and months before the 2020 election. So I agree with you. I think people need to get involved, call their constituents, you know, ask how are we going to protect the integrity of these elections. And I want to point out another thing, because Pete was talking about how this wouldn't be happening in Ukraine. A lot of nuts on Twitter will say, imagine if Trump were president while this was happening. Thank God it's Joe Biden. I'm like, well, I can imagine, because Trump was president for 4 years. You know what didn't happen? Do you know what didn't happen? I'll give you a guess. Give you a free guess. Russia didn't invade Ukraine. Spoiler alert for all of these people who are trying to imagine this crazy hypothetical of what would have happened if Donald Trump were president. If a puppet of Putin were president, imagine what Putin would have done. Oh, turns out nothing. Turns out he would have put a pause on the plan for 4 years. That's how tight he was with Trump. That's how good he had it with Trump. That he decided, you know, I invaded with the administration before, and I'll invade with the administration after, but right now I'm not going to do it because I'm such BFFs with Donald Trump. That makes a lot of sense. And one other thing I want to say, we're all kind of rehashing here some of the pros of Donald Trump. You know what's a huge pro that I don't think was ever focused on enough? The fact that he was what a lot of the founding fathers originally thought public service was going to be. In other words, you made a living doing something else, and then you became a politician to serve your community, to serve your country, and then you left. And now the leaving part, yeah, it got a little messy there. But the fact that he wasn't made rich by the government, that he didn't go in there like Nancy Pelosi and make $200 million for doing Lord knows what. If you've ever heard her speak in the last couple of weeks, it's hard to make out what she's saying, let alone what she's accomplishing in government. But this guy had all the money in the world, and he chose to do this because he loves his country. You can say he's an egomaniac. That's definitely got a part to play. But the money factor for me was always such a big deal, because I'm like, this guy could be sitting at a golf course. He could be sitting by a pool. He could be doing nothing and just enjoying the fruits of his labor. And instead, he's dealing with these nuts who have done nothing but eat from the trough for decades. And it seemed like that never was a focal point for all these people, where I think it should have been. 844-500-4242. We'll continue with your calls. If you've been on the line for a while, I see you there. We're going right back to them when we return. The allergy season caused by trees begins in March and runs through June. This pollen is odorless, so you may not realize allergy season has already started, but it has. Jared, it's not just allergies, though. I know you've got the thunderstorm in your car. I do, too. It's great for allergy season. It's also great, though, for cooking and for basements, because a lot of people's basements get kind of musty, and you might have some valuables down there.
Yeah, I have my comic books down in my basement, and I don't want there to be a lot of moisture. I don't want there to be mold, and I don't want there to be that smell, because that smell of basement can get into paper, and then they're ruined. So the Eden Pure Thunderstorm eliminates all that for me. I just plug it in, and I turn it on, and it ionizes the air, which creates a super oxygen, which eliminates that odor, any of those odors. It purifies them so they're not there, and you don't have to worry about that.
And right now, you can get the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-pack. That's right, 3 thunderstorms. All you have to do to get ready for allergy season is go to EdenPureDeals.com. Put in code GRACE3. That's EdenPureDeals.com, GRACE3, to get the Eden Pure Thunderstorm 3-pack. Get rid of those gross kitchen smells. Get rid of those gross basement smells. And purify the air with the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. Get the 3-pack. Go to EdenPureDeals.com, code GRACE3. We will be right back. We're going to do rapid fire through your calls. Don't go anywhere.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Grace Curley. She's here for the love.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
Two,
Today's poll question is brought to you by Kennedy Carpet. Kennedy Carpet is growing and hiring for many positions, including installers, carpet cleaners, water damage technicians, warehouse and salespeople. Kennedy Carpet offers full benefits and more. Find out all they have to offer by calling 1-888-KENNEDY. That's 1-888-KENNEDY. Jared, what's the poll question and what are the results thus far?
What liberal advice has helped you best deal with Biden's America? Lower expectations, eat lentils, or buy an electric car?
Lower your expectations.
In the lead at 77%, 16% for eat lentils, 7% for buy an electric car.
All right, let's go to Kurt. You're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Kurt. All right, we don't have Kurt there. James, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, James.
Howdy. Hey, I want to say real quick before I make my comment, I've been a 30-year talk radio listener, and I just want to thank you for giving me a place to go and help take some of the sting out of losing Rush, because now I get to, I do you and then Howie back-to-back, and you're super entertaining to listen to, and I love your sense of humor.
Thank you, James. And, I really appreciate that.
You're welcome. Thank you. Anyway, so about Trump, first I'll say I'm an independent. I'm kind of conservative. I don't really like either party, to be quite honest. So I pick them as I go along. But anyway, I love Trump. I thought he made a lot of mistakes, didn't agree with everything. But I think if we were, just the fact of him getting back in there again, just to watch the left's heads explode would be awesome. And they deserve it for what they did, where they really crushed his ability to, as much as he did get done, he would have got so much more done if they didn't distract him with all the stuff that they did, which is what they were doing it for, was to keep him, distracted. So, running a race with a backpack of rocks on his back.
Right.
But if he was to get, back in, then we could have DeSantis after that for 8 years. We could have literally 12 years of America First type policy.
Yeah, James, it's a really good point. And I think that's another part of this that is kind of affecting people's feelings on it, which is a lot of people feel like they voted for Trump, but they never got their chance with their guy. And it's kind of piggybacking off of what James just said. People feel like that 4 years, yeah, he accomplished a lot, but it was, he was hamstrung by these Democrats, by fake investigations, by bogus reports, by steel dossiers. And people feel robbed. Because all these other Democrats who've become president, they've had their fair shake. They've had 8 years or sometimes 4 years to mess up the country. And all Trump wanted to do was make the country better, and he never got his fair shot at it. Mike, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Mike. Are you there, Mike? All right, let's go to Greg. Greg, you're next up. Go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, hi. Great show, Grace.
Thank you.
I originally didn't support Trump in 2016. He was my last choice because I voted for him because he ran against Lady Macbeth. But I noticed that he got so much accomplished during those years, and I don't think anybody else that ran would have been able to accomplish what he did, and they wouldn't have been able to withstand the vitriol and the impeachments and the dirty tricks that were pulled on him.
Yeah, and that's another part of it that kind of amazed me, was that every time people came after him, it was like kind of a type of deal where he got more strength from it. Like I remember once someone on one of the mainstream news networks said he seems to be the only person aging backwards. Like, you look at Obama after his 8 years, he had all the gray up top and he was tired, and you could tell, and it makes sense. It's a hard job. It takes a lot out of you. But with Trump, it was like every day his fight was just re-energized. And I think that's a huge part of it for me. Do I think that it would be easier if he just let Ron DeSantis kind of take the baton here and run? Yeah. But does my loyalty, as far as would I give him my vote? Absolutely. Because the guy fought for us for 4 years, and he went up against everyone in the process. He took the slings and arrows. 844-500-4242. We've got Mechanic Monday coming up next. Sorry to everyone I couldn't get to. Mechanic Monday coming up next. If you have car questions, we're going to be talking about gas, cars, different kinds of cars, brands. Call in now. It's 844-500-4242. All your car questions answered after the break.